blessing to be here this morning. Revelation chapter number 3, if you have your Bibles with you. And I'll say this, it's an honor to preach here. I appreciate what this church has meant over the years, and I appreciate what Brother Windsor's meant to me over the years. He's a hero of mine, and I appreciate his life and his ministry. He preached my charge at my ordination probably 13, 14 years ago, and I appreciate him, appreciate his family, appreciate an example of somebody to follow after. So I'm thankful to be here, but more than anything, I'm just thankful that I'm the Lord's child, and he sent me this way. Give me something to do in his kingdom. I'm just glad to have anything to do for him because I know I couldn't repay him, but I sure do want to try. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14 was where we're going to be this morning. If you want to stand for the reading of God's word, I don't know whether you regularly do that, but if you do want to stand, that'll be fine. And we'll reverence God's blessed word and thank the Lord for what he has given us in his word. Very familiar scripture, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to finish this out this morning reading this entire passage, but just read just a few verses into your hearing, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 14 of Revelation chapter number 3, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again today, God, for the privilege of letting us be in your house this morning. God, we do thank you, Lord, for a chance to stand behind the pulpit and declare your word. Oh, God, today I know, Father, how unworthy I am. God, I look at my life, and Lord, I think how unworthy I am to declare your precious and infallible and inherent word. God, today, but I'm thankful, Lord, it's not based upon me, not based upon my faithfulness. Lord, you're faithful when I'm not. You're gracious when I'm not. You're loving when I'm not. You're perfect when I'm not. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for the God that you are. Oh, Lord, today I'd ask you that you'd use the gospel. Lord, I pray that you'd use me, Father, and move me aside. Reach through me today, I do pray. Oh, God, I pray that you'd lift up your word. Father, I pray it'd find a lodging place in the heart of every person. Oh, God, I pray it'd have a seed, Father, that would grow, Father, to those things that you want to see fit and done. God, we'll lead this place better for hearing your word. We'll give you the praise and glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. You might be seated. Appreciate you standing for God's word this morning. John is writing this book of Revelation. He has been outcast to the Isle of Patmos. History tells us that John was, they tried to boil him and they tried to kill him multiple times and he just wouldn't die. And if you follow John's life, you'll find out he's the only one who went to the cross. And you can't kill somebody that's been to the cross. And amen, you can't put to death somebody. Oh, they may die in this life. They may die in this body. But oh, if they've been to the cross, thank God, they'll live on. And so they tried to kill him and he wouldn't go. He's the only disciple who went to the cross and he's the only disciple who died of natural causes because they could not kill him. But he's on the Isle of Patmos. They've outcast him because they didn't know what else to do with him. So they put him out on an island. He's all by himself. And yeah, John said it was always in the spirit on the Lord's day. Thank God. He was still worshiping the Lord on his day. And the spirit comes and begins. The Lord begins to speak to him. The Bible said that John says it was like one of the Son of Man. He said he was clothed with a garment down to a foot and girt about the pass with a girdle. He said his head was with hair, his wires were as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in the furnace. And it was the sound of many waters. Voice was the sound of many waters. The Lord begins to speak to him and said, write these things which you hear. And so he begins to write, and the Lord begins to send messages to seven different churches here at the beginning of the book of Revelation. And this is the final church that the Lord's about to speak to. Now, I understand and believe that these are pictures of the history of the church, but I know this much. You can find pictures of every church that is in Asia, in pretty much every church around, and in every life that you find. There are pictures of different kinds of lives, and it goes from that church at Philadelphia, that church that was faithful, that church that loved the Lord, into this church at Laodicea. Amen. And I'll say this much. Thank God for some folks that still know about Philadelphia. In this day of Laodicea, lukewarm church Christianity, where we've got to a point where most folks just come in Philippia and they don't really believe and they don't really worship and they don't really serve the Lord. Thank God that there's still some people out there that know about old time religion, who still know about worshiping and being in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. Old John's writing into this church of Laodicea. And the Lord, when he begins to introduce himself to each church, he introduces himself in a different way. He's got a different message for each one, and he describes himself in a different way. There's some things that are the same, but yet there are some things that are different. And so when I was reading these verses again, and I came across what Jesus said in verse 14 to this church at Laodicea, I was interested in what the Lord said about himself. He said, these things saith the Amen. These things saith the Amen. That word Amen is one of those few words that we've got in our language. It's the same in the Greek and the Hebrew and in the English. It's the same. And in fact, it's a word that we know according to the testimony of the Word of God that's being spoken in heaven right now. They're still saying Amen. John said when he saw them, the angels were saying Amen. The elders were saying Amen. The Lord himself was saying Amen. I remember Brother Windsor being a young boy at New Harmony, and those old saints of God would say glory and hallelujah and amen. And I remember thinking, why are they so loud? Why do they act that way? And I don't understand all the things they're saying. But then I got saved. And I remember Brother Winston distinctly being about 13 years old. We was at New Harmony. And Brother Randy Bertram was preaching. And man, he was getting out in his old arms. Was crying out. And he's preaching that booming voice. And he's talking about the cross. And he's preaching on it. It's finished. And somewhere in my little 13-year-old heart, something came up. And I just said, amen. Never said it before except at the end of my prayers. Somewhere around that word, I thought, I didn't understand even then what it meant. It's like the little baby that starts learning how to babble. And it starts babbling. And then all of a sudden it's with daddy and it says, da, da, da. And all of a sudden daddy scoops that baby up and says, that's right, that's right. Yeah. Holds that baby up close. And that baby says, I don't know what I said, but daddy sure did like it. So I think I'll say it again. Dad, dad, dad. Hey, amen. And I found out when I said amen as a 13-year-old boy. Hallelujah. The Lord said, that's right, son. That's right. Amen. It's throughout your Bible that this word amen is mentioned over and over and over. The Lord himself mentions it multiple times. And so he calls himself and describes himself as the amen. So when I read my Bible and I found out how many times they said amen, it don't bother me that I say it over and over and over in my preaching. The Lord said it all the time. In fact, he elsewhere in the Bible, that word amen, it's always a benediction. It's always at the end. They always end something that's said about the Lord with an amen or an amen and amen. But the Lord, when he was preaching, he started with the amens. Every time you see the words, verily, verily, I've said unto thee, Jesus is saying, amen, amen. And so when he preached the gospel, he said amen at the beginning. He said amen in the middle. He said amen at the end. And so it's all right for us to say amen as the children of God. But oh, he described himself. Oh, he said, I am the faithful and the true witness. He said, I'm the beginning of the creation of God. You know what the Lord was saying? I had the first amen, and I'm going to have the last amen. So I want to preach for a little while this morning, if the Lord will help me on these things, saith the amen. Amen. I'll say to you that he who had the first word is going to have the last word one day. Hallelujah. With all the things that's being said in this world, there's going to come a day when it's all going to stop, and the Lord's going to have the final word. Amen. He spoke this word into the world, into existence. Before there even was a thing called word, there was a word. And amen, he's going to have the final word out of everything that's said and done in this life. And so this morning I'll say, he's going to have the final word of the conversation. I've never seen a day, Brother Windsor, like it is today when everybody's got an opinion. Not only does everybody have an opinion, everybody thinks that everybody else needs to hear their opinion. I mean, you turn and look on Facebook and you'll find every opinion from every person. Everybody has got a running page of everything they think and believe. And every time something pops in their head, they want to make sure everybody hears it. They think everybody's out there listening and waiting just to hear their opinion about everything. I looked up the statistics, and it tells me, I found out that 1.15 billion people view Facebook every day. I didn't even look up Twitter and Instagram or whatever the rest of them was. But according to a news article, every 60 seconds, every 1 minute, 293,000 statuses are updated. Probably about half of them on Sand Mountain. And about 510,000 comments are posted in 1 minute of one day. Means every day that there are 422,000 million opinions being posted on Facebook. 422 million people have decided that the world needs to hear something that they have to say. I'm not down on Facebook. I'm thankful we got it for prayer requests and church announcements and all those things. I think we need to stay off of it more often than we do. I think some people get addicted to the thing and they need to stay off of it. They need to watch what they post and they need to watch what pictures they put on. Amen. I remember several years ago I was an associate pastor at a church and I was flipping through Facebook and a picture of one of my church members popped up on there and I thought I'll never get that picture out of my mind. Did she not think before she posted that? There's some things that we need to watch on that. But I'm saying this, that people want to have their opinion heard in this world. I'm saying, and most of those opinions are either about religion or politics. A lot of things about God being posted. A lot of comments being put on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else, and what they people believe about God and what is going to be said about God. But I'll tell you this, I remind you that there's going to come a day when the conversations and the opinions are going to be set aside and he's going to have the last amen after what's been said. I thought about this. There's around 37 million churches in the world today. That means that 37 million pastors will stand behind a pulpit this Lord's day and give their opinion. And give what they believe is true about the Word of God. Me being included, I'll preach the Word of God. But there's 37 other million other pastors. I put in quotation marks because some of them ain't pastors. They're just filling a pulpit. They ain't called of God in any way. And so there's a lot of folks giving their opinion about God. And I thought about this, Brother Windsor. This is almost funny to think about. You talk about, just think there's 34,000 denominations in the world today. evangelical denomination, 34,000. I ain't down on denominations in general because I'm glad to say I'm a missionary Baptist. Amen. Somebody asks me what kind of preacher you are, I'll say I'm an old-fashioned missionary Baptist. And I'm glad to be one because I believe we believe the right thing and I believe we affirm the right thing. I ain't against anybody else, but I believe like the missionary Baptists believe, and if I didn't, I'd find somewhere else to go. But I'm saying this, 34,000 denominations. Just think, if Brother Windsor, if we could drive in 50 miles in a radius around Antioch Baptist Church this morning, how many different kinds of churches we'd find? How many different opinions? Somebody asked me what kind of preacher is. I don't say Baptist because I don't narrow it down at all. I mean, you got your Southern Baptist churches and you got your missionary Baptist churches that are also Southern Baptist. Then you got your missionary Baptist churches that ain't Southern Baptist. They're independent Baptist. They're independent of everyone else. And those are not to be confused with the other missionary Baptists that are predominantly black and African American, and they're of the National Baptist Convention. So you really don't even narrow it down very much just by saying you're Baptist, because you got your Free Will Baptist, you got your Primitive Baptist, you got your United Baptist, your Reformed Baptist, your Full Gospel Baptist. That's just the Baptist. Yeah. Talk about the Methodist. You got your United Methodist, you got your Congregational Methodist, which of course ain't to be confused with the First Congregational Methodist Church. And then you got your Episcopal churches, which also is not to be confused with the Episcopal Methodist Church. In which those are not to be confused with the Episcopal African Methodist Episcopal. And they'd get real mad if you confused them with the African American Episcopal Zion Church. I mean, there's denominations, there's opinions going everywhere. You've got the Church of God and the Church of Christ, of course, which is not the same as the Church of God in Christ. You've got the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, who'd get real mad if you got them mixed up with the Church of God of Anderson, Indiana. I mean, there's two different of those. And then you got the Church of God Incorporated, Church of God of Prophecy, the United Church of God. You got apostolic churches, Nazarene churches, Lutheran, Anglican, Seventh-day Adventist. You got Pentecostals and Holiness, which, of course, ain't to be confused with the Pentecostal Holiness people. I mean, it's completely, and you've got your Presbyterian Church, and if they're Presbyterian Church of America, who's the conservative side of it, they'll get real mad if you get them confused with the Presbyterian Church of the USA. It's comical to think about it, almost, but it's also sad at the same time that all these opinions have led to so many divisions within the church, and so many people are reading the same Bible. At least they ought to be reading the same Bible we're reading, and they've read these words down through the years, and yet they have followed their own judgment and their own opinion. Satan, the first thing he ever said to the world, he said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." Began to question the Word of God from the very beginning. And he opened up the greatest thing that this world has ever known, the greatest deception, and that is God's Word is open to man's judgment and man's opinion. And down through the years, man has read the Word of God, and then he's thrown his opinion into it. And he said, I believe it says this because I like it this way. And the other said, I don't like it that way. I think I'll make it sound like this. And they've cut the Bible in and out, and they've thrown out verses they didn't like, and they've changed the words, and they've changed the translations down through the years. And I'll tell you that the grass withered and the flower faded, but the blessed Word of God will stand forevermore. Amen. Though they'll give their opinions, and though we split off into every direction that there is for every denomination, he's going to have the amen one day on the conversation. I remind you, he had the first word. He's going to have the last word one day. Not only did he have, he's going to have the amen of the conversation. Thank God there's going to come a day when he's going to have the amen of the confrontation. Mankind is fighting against God like never before. They're rebelling against God and the idea of God. They don't want to think that there's a higher power who is in control of them. Really what they want to do is they want to be their own God. And so you can prevent, if you can present to them a God who will love them and give them things, but don't make them behave and don't make them live by his standards and it's not really in control, they'll take that. And our churches are full of places and pastors that have told folks that God's just this loving God that ain't going to make you live right and act right and do right and dress right. And so we've got this, and folks have begun to believe that they're in control, that they're the God. That's what he was trying to get. I mentioned what Satan said to Eve. That's what, when he got her to take of the fruit, that was because he said, you'll be like one of the gods. You'll be your own God, deciding what's good and what's bad. You'll have the wisdom. You make your own decisions. And folks have got every opinion about the way they live. And they'll say, I ain't going to tell you what you live it. How you live is wrong. Your opinions are wrong. But don't tell me how I should believe and how I should live and how I should act. And that's what it is. But it's not based upon what I say. It's based upon this word. And if this word says it's right, it's right. If this word says it's wrong, it's wrong. The word is unchanging. And it's not got any gray areas in there. It's black and white. It's either wrong or right. And I believe every heart knows what's wrong and right. They're trying to convince the world they're the ones in control. Book of Proverbs said the fool had said in his heart, there's a God and there's no God. Notice he didn't say, the Bible didn't say the fool hath believed in his heart, there is no God. Don't believe with all of my heart. I don't believe there's a real thing called an atheist. I believe they got themselves convinced they are, but if you throw them off a ship into the ocean, they'll cry, oh, God, help me. Something in every man's given a measure of faith to know that there is a God. But yet man just wants to be in control. I read some time ago, there's a Wall Street Journal article that interested me. It was about a large doctor's office in a big city. And they did something really strange. Might do us good sometimes to install some of these in our churches. That they installed thermostats that didn't work. There was one main control, but they had a company that had many complaints about all the things that were going. Everybody wanted, one person thought it was too hot, the other thought it was too cold, and every day they heard some people complaining left and right. And they finally said, come in, install a thermostat on every wall, but don't hook it up to anything. Make it look like it works. And all of a sudden, the complaint stopped. Those people that thought they were hot wasn't hot anymore. Because they went over to the wall and they pressed that little button and it said it was cooler. And so when they thought they were cold, they didn't complain anymore about being cold. They just went over to the button and pressed it. I'm saying then, people want to be in control. And just the idea of being in control makes them feel better. If they're the ones in control, they don't rebel near as much. And we've got millions of people in the world today that's pressing their thermostat, thinking they're changing things in their life, not knowing that a sovereign God is still in control of everything, that he ain't abdicated his throne, and he is still on the throne controlling everything of mankind. I'm saying this, we need to turn our thermostats in every once in a while. Say, Lord, I ain't in control anyway. You put it hot or cold, whatever you want, you be in control. They're deceived. People are deceived. 2 Timothy 2 and 3 and 13 said they're deceiving and being deceived. They're evil men and seducers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I say to you that he who had the first word is going to have the last word one day. They can sow and do whatever they want now that the Lord has given them the freedom to go and to sow their wild oats and live any way they want to. But they'll stand before a holy God one day, and he's going to have the amen. There ain't going to be any rebellion. There ain't going to be any more opinions. There ain't going to be any more conversation. The only thing they're going to do is fall down on their knees, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm saying there's going to come a day when all the conversation's going to stop, and all the posts and all the opinions are going to stop. They'll stand before a holy God, and they'll say, yes, 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 it's true and it's right. But I'll tell you this, he's going to have the amen on the confrontation. But oh, us children of God, there's still battles to fight down here, ain't there? There's still confrontations. I'm glad the victory's already been won. We're not working for victory. We're working from victory. Amen. The victory's already happened, but there's still the battles. There's that battle that I fight every day with myself. The greatest battle I fight's not with Satan out there. It's with what's on the inside. When folks fall away and when folks do things they ought not to do, it's not because Satan did it. It's because they let themselves do it. They have a battle with themselves. Oh, there's that battle with sorrow and the battle with sickness and the battle with Satan and the battle with sin. There's all these battles that you and I have to face in this life. But one day, there's going to be an amen to all the confrontation. All of the battles. Need I remind you, we're on the winning side. Once we wandered out in sin, had no hope, no peace within, and the world, it was burning down with pride. But then the Savior came along and showed us we was wrong. Now we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. My football team may not have won yesterday. Yours may have. But hallelujah, if you're a child of God, you're on the winning side this morning. Amen. When the last amen is spoken, we're going to be on the winning side. I say, not only is he going to have the amen about the conversation, have the amen about the confrontation. I'll finish it up this way. Hallelujah. He's going to have the amen about the celebration. Yes. Bless his name. Amen. You see, that amen for billions and billions that have roamed this earth, it's going to be a sad words when they hear that amen of, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. For I never knew you. Oh, when they hear that final word, and there they will go to hell and they'll cry out for an eternity from the pits of hell. Oh God, hear me. But there'll be no more words spoken from God. But for the child of God, that amen ain't something to be feared. That amen ain't something to be dreaded. We're going to hear those three blessed words come up hither. Hallelujah. And when God comes and time is to be no more, and his church goes home to be with him. Amen. While they're standing before the great white throne, hear and depart from me. I never knew you. We're going to hear, thou good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. The joy of thy Lord. Thank God. There's going to come a blessed day when the amen is going to be said for the celebration, and no more death, and no more pain, and no more sin, and no more heartache. He's going to have the amen to it all, and forever we'll celebrate and be with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Y'all be finding a song of invitation. I'm almost done this morning. I read the story not too long ago of a November 26, 1983. There's a Avianca flight 011 left out of Paris sometime after midnight. It's headed to Madrid, Spain. Morning of the flight, it received clearance, and the airport in Madrid said, you're fine to land. But somewhere the pilot made a miscalculation, and he was flying way too low and too close to the mountains. And they just had installed into those Boeing 747s this thing called the Global Position Warning System, GPWS. And if you'll listen back to the black box recording of what happened on that day, that global position warning system saying, pull up, pull up, pull up, over and over and over. And that Spanish pilot saying, bueno, bueno, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And over it says, pull up. And he says, bueno, pull up, bueno. He thinks everything's right. And the last thing you hear is once again that warning system saying, pull up. Last words you hear, that Spanish pilot said, shut up, gringo. Smashes into the side of a mountain. Kills 162 people. Over and over, the warning was going out. Yes. You're in trouble. Pull up. Pull up. Change. Go up higher. You're about to crash. And guess what he said? I'm good. I'm good. Can't tell you how many people I've preached to with my 21 years that have sat in congregations And they said with their, though they didn't say it out loud, they said with their heart, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I don't have to pull up. I don't have to check. I'm good. And even to the point they'll say, shut up, gringo, sometimes. And turn and walk out of the church and never come back. Only to find that that warning from the gospel preacher that preached to them all those years was right. Yes. They're in the wrong position. They're not bueno. They're not good. Wow. And I say to you this morning, if the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart and saying, pull up!